You could sail the seven seas, and some days we'll be still. The mightiest rivers, a trickle at the source. So find your destination, and always stay the course.
You gotta roll back that rock to rise again. A desert flower is just a seed until it rains. In this world of woe, you'll bear no remorse. If you're true to yourself and you always stay the course.
Stay the course, on land or at sea. Stay the course until you fulfill your destiny. Stay the course to be all that you can be. Never falter, never veer. Don't be afraid to steer. If you travel far or near, stay the course, stay the course. Others blaze their own trail. Some face the storm, some seek shelter from the gale.
We can't run with the big dogs or stay up on the porch. No matter what we choose, we must always stay the course.
Stay the course, on land or at sea. Stay the course until you fulfill your destiny. Stay the course to be all that you can be. Never falter, never veer. Don't be afraid to steer. If you travel far or near, stay the course, stay the course. Stay the course, on land or at sea. Stay the course until fulfill your destiny. Stay the course to be all that you can be. Never falter, never veer. Don't be afraid to steer. If you travel far or near, stay the course, stay the course. Never falter, never veer.
Don't be afraid to steer.
If you travel far or near, stay the course, stay the course.
That Same Latitude as Rome, the vehicle for the masterful songwriting of Southern Ontario's Peter Boyer. With the song Stay the Course, the new single and title track of their new album. And Sean McCann, formerly of Great Big Sea, shares vocals and also plays the boron on that song. Stay the Course is the follow-up to 2015's Early Days. Same Latitude as Rome's very well-received collection of early Canadian history and song. To learn more about the new single and album, we're pleased to welcome Peter Boyer into the Folk Roots Radio studio. How are you doing today, Peter?
Oh, great, great. Thanks very much, Jan, for having me.
It's great to have you back. I didn't realize it was 3 years since Early Days came out.
Oh, that's right. Time flies, for sure.
Yeah. So tell us about the new album. Obviously, getting Sean McCann on the title track was pretty cool. Tell us how that turned out.
Well, Sean is such a nice guy. I bumped into him at a folk festival in Newfoundland through my wife. And Sean tells us this story. It's part of his show, and he's toured all over North America. So he was walking on a path down to the ocean one day, and my wife, who is a collector of four-leaf clovers, was down on her hands and knees looking for four-leaf clovers along the same path, and he bumped into her. And he was at a low point in his life and making some changes. Great Big Sea had broken up. There were a lot of things, you know. Sean has talked about some of his challenges, the demons he had to deal with. And so anyway, him and Annalisa had kind of became kind of kindred spirits, and she told him, "Don't give up, keep doing what you're doing." And he was quite inspired by that. And so later that night around a campfire, we met and talked. And so that began a friendship. And so when I was songwriting, I thought, I'm going to write a song for, when I was getting songs ready for this record, I thought, I'm going to write a song for Sean. I thought about a maritime sort of theme, something that, you know, Newfoundland. I was in Newfoundland when I started the song. And so that's how it came about, Stay the Course. And when I shopped it to Sean, who's a great songwriter himself, of course, he loved it. He said, I really like this song, but why don't we do it together? And so that's how it came about. And he said, well, if you go to record it, let me know and I'll record it with you. So that's how it came about.
So there's 9 songs on the new album. This collection's a little different because after Early Days, I was thinking, well, maybe the storytelling is all going to be historical. Now, there are some historical songs on this album. There's also some songs about different issues. I mean, it's coming up with my notes for this and saying, oh, we've got some very interesting songs. We've got a song about cheese we're going to play in a few moments. Yeah. There's songs about horses, trucks and cars, and also, you know, the challenges that we all face. When you were putting this collection together, did you want it to step in a different direction with the album?
Well, I'm kind of known for my historical songs. I've had the most success with them, with Same Latitude as Rome. But I write all kinds of different songs. And so in the course of selecting historical songs, beginning with our 1812 CD and then with Early Days, and then as I was getting this one together, I had several years of songs that weren't historical songs. And some of those songs, when I play them, one of the places I like to play in my local community is the Allure Acoustic Cafe. It's a great spot. And I road test songs at the Allure Acoustic Cafe. And people would come up to me and they would say things like, oh, I love that song, Old Beater Trucks. When are you going to play that song again? So then I thought, you know what, I need to pull some of those songs out and let's not get locked into just Canadian history, which I love. But let's put some other things on. So that's what we tried to do.
So let's dip back in the album with another track. We're going to play Perth's Mammoth Cheese, which when I meet you, they got that track. It's like, okay, I got to learn more about this. This is a true story, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could never make a story like Perth's Mammoth Cheese up. At the turn of the century, the turn of the 19th century, The agricultural industry in Canada was very fledgling, and in order to promote it, he was called the Commissioner of Dairy at the time, which would be the equivalent to our federal agriculture minister. He had this brilliant idea that they would make a giant cheese and they would ship it down to the Chicago World's Fair. Now, the Chicago World's Fair of 1893 was a very, very famous event because all of the United States was just coming out of the Industrial Revolution, and there were all of these big industrialists, American industrialists who were there, who were demonstrating the massive technologies of the day, big steel things. Like the first Ferris wheel was built at the Chicago World's Fair, and it was huge. The first Ferris wheel, I think each carriage held something like 35 people. So you can imagine it would be like the London Ferris wheel. Anyway, that was the scene for the event. So here comes Canada. We're gonna promote ourselves. So we're gonna send like a giant cheese on a special railway car down to Chicago. That was the Canadian approach to, you know, the opposite side of the American industrial might. And we sent this big cheese down there, and the first day they unloaded it, it fell right through the floor in the display hall. And so the whole story just goes on and on. It was so fascinating that I just thought, wow, I gotta write a song about this.
This is one of the things I love about your songs, is you always learn something new. I was actually sitting there thinking, well, was it good cheese? Did it taste good? You know, you always kind of imagine that. That's a lot of cheese to try and make. But it's a wonderful story. Let's play that song just now. This is Same Latitude as Rome with Perth's Mammoth Cheese from their new album, Stay the Course. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
It shone like a beacon of man. national pride. 2 meters high and 8 meters wide, dignitaries basked in the honor and prestige, just to stand beside the world's biggest cheese. It was made here in Canada, in Perth along the Tay, for the World's Fair in Chicago, from the best milking way. Every cow for miles around was milked by hand with care, and Perth's mammoth cheese was soon known everywhere. Add the rennet, make the curds, drain the whey, keep them stirred, salt them while they're warm, and press them in a form. That's how cheddar's made. 11 tons was what it weighed when the world came to see Perth's mammoth cheese. The cheese was shipped like royalty in a special railway car, and folks all cheered to see it pass from near and far, on to Chicago to be proudly displayed. But it fell right through the floor on the very first day. Add the rennet, make the curds, drain the whey, keep them stirred, salt them while they're warm, and press them in a form. That's how cheddar's made. 11 tons was what it weighed when the world came to see Perth's mammoth cheese. Dairies then, but now none remain, and fresh curds are a pleasure that's hard to find today. Yet times are different now and can't be compared to the days of 1893 at the World's Fair. Add the rennet, make the curds, drain the whey, keep them stirred, salt them while they're warm, and press them in a form. That's how cheddar's made. 11 tons was what it weighed when the world came to see Perth's mammoth cheese. That's how cheddar's made. 11 tons was what it weighed when the world came to see Perth's mammoth cheese. When the world came to see Perth's mammoth cheese.
That's Peter Boyer with Same Latitude as Rome with Perth's mammoth cheese. It's quite hard to get your... It's a bit of a tongue twister, that one. And that's from their new album, Stay the Course. It's coming out very shortly. Peter Boyer is our special guest in the studio chatting about the album. Now, I think when you recorded this, you went back to J.K. Gully, right, in Kitchener-Waterloo to record this.
Yeah, J.K. is a fabulous musician. He spent lots of time in Nashville, and he's kind of one of the part of the backroom scene, but he's known by a lot of people in the music business. But I wouldn't call him a mainstream a celebrity or anything. But he's a fabulous, fabulous musician, and he has a little boutique studio in Kitchener called Blue Gull Studio. And it's just so great working with them that it's just, you look forward to it. Like, it's a treat to go in and to JK's little studio. And
well, I remember he's a great player, because I know way back you came in the studio with JK, and I think he played a bit of mandolin.
Yeah, yeah.
You were singing, playing guitar on some of the songs from early days. But he's a fabulous multi-instrumentalist as well as a great producer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Tell us about some of the other people that appear on this album.
Well, they're kind of like a little bit of the session players of Southern Ontario. There's a couple of acoustic bass players that we lined up, Matt Lima and Thomas Buda, and Gary Kreller plays accordion. You would have heard the great little accordion part on "Stay the Course." Gary plays in a polka band. He's probably one of the most famous musicians of all of us, because in the Kitchener area, the Black Forest Band is like epic, you know, like you, with all of the with all of the events that are that go on there and the, with that in that area with the polka music, Gary, the Black Forest Band is like real. That's the king, and so that's Gary's band. That's his own band that he plays with, and he's a fabulous accordion player. And then on percussion, we have Mark Mariash, who's a, who's really a studio guy, but he does a few live things and tours a bit. And we have mostly I play harmonica myself, but on one of the songs, Blue Shelby Mustang, we needed a really bluesy harmonica to go with JK's playing. And it's one of those calls, you know, I tried it in the studio to do that. And I thought, you know what, it's not really my style. I play a folky style of harmonica on a harmonica rack when I accompany myself on guitar. And so we got Roly Platt, who's a real harmonica virtuoso, and he does a fabulous job just on that one song. He did it as a special guest and sat in for Blue Shelby Mustang. So that fabulous bluesy harmonica that you hear on Blue Shelby Mustang is Roly. And that's pretty well it. Dale Rivard on dobro. He's one of Canada's best slide players. Steel player, slide player. He's an Essex County musician. And it was great to have him. He's a fabulous, fabulous player.
Now, we should mention we are actually in Leamington, Ontario, which is close to where Same Latitude as Rome started off. Because yeah. I think it was 2007
yes,
that you
yes.
started the yep. band. I know you'd been playing music for a long time before that. And Same Latitude as Rome is basically because, if you head into Point Pelee Park, you can see the sign where it says, yes, you are on the same latitude as Rome at this
southernmost part of Canada.
Yeah. And it shows during the winter. So what can we say about
most people that? Wouldn't think that there'd be any place in Canada that would be the same latitude as Rome, right? Especially this time of year, right, Jan?
Yeah, absolutely. But it certainly is definitely a milder climate here. There's no doubt about that. We're going to go back to the album and play another fun track. Now, this is interesting because this is old guys with guitars, and I'm sure there must be an interesting story behind this one. Tell us about the story of this song.
Well, this is sort of a bit tongue-in-cheek and a bit giving tribute, I think, in a way, to all my peers. And I'm an old guy with a guitar myself, so I'm not trying to kid anybody. I'm part of that group. I'm part of that cohort of guys that grew up in the 70s, even like I really date myself the 60s when I learned how to play guitar. And when you go to open mics and things, it just sort of struck me that and even the folk audiences, people talk about the folk audiences at folk festivals being an older crowd, right?
All the gray hairs, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, trying to get young people in. Well, guitar playing is like that. And when you go to open mics and your friends and everybody that you know, it's all old guys. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? When I was started out, when I was like 15, 16 years old playing guitar, there were no old guys with guitars. Like everybody was like 16 years old and going to be a rock star. And that was the background. And so I sort of put all those different ideas together. And I had my oldest daughter, who's a fabulous musician herself and songwriter. She's out on Vancouver Island. I was playing it in her garden one day, working on it. And I was struggling a bit. And she was working away, transplanting some trees. And she put her shovel down and she looked up and she looked at me and she said, this is how the chorus should go. And she just nailed it. And so she has a songwriting credit on it. And she really helped me put the song together.
Let's play that just now. This is Same Latitude as Rome with Old Guys with Guitars from their new album. It's entitled Stay the Course. Peter Boyer, our special guest in the studio today. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio.
Play me a song from way back when about changing the world. That's how it was then. Everyone was young and about to be stars. There weren't any old guys with guitars. Everyone played, some better than others. Some wrote their own, and yet some just did covers. Singer-songwriters play the cafes and bars. There weren't any old guys with guitars. We're old guys with guitars. We ain't giving up. Hope springs eternal. We can't get enough. The sky's the limit. We're still in it. We could make it, so we're holding on. We're old guys with guitars. We ain't played our last song. Guitars, we ain't giving up. Hope springs eternal. We can't get enough. The sky's the limit. We're still in it. We could make it, so we're holding on. We're old guys with guitars. We ain't played our last song. We're old guys with guitars. We ain't giving up. Hope springs eternal. We can't get enough. And the sky's the limit. And man, we're still in it. And we can make it, so we're holding on. We're old guys with guitars. We ain't played our last song. We're old guys with guitars. We ain't played our last.
That's Peter Boyer with Same Latitude as Rome, with Old Guys with Guitars from his new album with his band Same Latitude as Rome. The album is entitled Stay the Course. Peter Boyer is our special guest in the studio. We're chatting about the album. I think as a songwriter, you're always collecting songs. You mentioned how you like to go to places like the wonderful Elora Acoustic Cafe and road test some of these songs.
Yeah.
Over what period of time were the songs for this album pulled together?
I probably wrote the first one right after early days, which was 2015. I just sort of kept on. As a songwriter, you just sort of keep writing songs as you get ideas. One of the best places for me for songwriting is when I sit on an airplane. It's a lot of downtime, and the movies are crummy usually, and you're squashed into your seat, and there's not too much you can do. So I pull up my little writer's book that I carry in my backpack, and I work on songs when I'm flying. And as I mentioned, our oldest daughter Christine is out on Vancouver Island, so we like to visit her two or three times a year to visit our grandkids out there. So it's a chance to be on an airplane for 5 hours and do some songwriting.
With the ideas, I mean, you know, on this album we've got we mentioned the Perth's Mammoth Cheese. We also have songs about quarter horses, the songs about trucks, cars. Do you think about ideas that, you know, oh, that would be a good subject for a song? I'm sure you must pick up a magazine or a National Geographic and read some story and think, oh my God, I think there's a song in there somewhere.
You know, that's just the way it is. When you're a songwriter, you have to be tuned into the world. And a lot of times you get the idea for a hook or a line comes to you from things people say. If you open your senses up to what's going on around you, you might be in the grocery store paying for your groceries, and the cashier will say something to you, and you'll say, "Wow, that's a cool line," you know. But normally it'd be, you know, in one ear and out the other. But as a songwriter, you sort of stash that away, and hopefully your writer's book isn't too far away because you forget them too. So you write it down. So then later when you have like 5 hours on an airplane, you can crack your book open and you can sort of work on it and see if you got a song there. That's how the process works for me.
And it obviously works very successfully because you've been fairly productive over the last few years.
It's a lot of fun. Songwriting is a great art form.
Yeah. So what happens now? The album is released very shortly. Will you be out touring it?
We don't have any plans right now. We're sort of going to wait and see how it what happens with the radio release of it. If it's if everybody loves it and it takes off a bit, then we'll know what we can support going out. Whether I go out and perform it solo, or whether what you always hope for as a performer, Jan, is to have enough success and enough sort of momentum with the music that you can afford to hire some musicians to come out with you. And it's one of those things. It becomes, unfortunately, it becomes economic. It's an economic decision. You've got to, you know, if the music will support some more players, then it's more fun and, you know, it sounds better and you can do more.
Well, I certainly, having seen you play with J.K. Gully, not just in the studio, but also in a live show, I'm certainly looking forward to that. And I certainly encourage people, check out the album. You can find Same Latitude as Rome online at samelatitudeasrome.com. And I think there's going to be information on the website about the individual songs, because one of the neat things about your songwriting is how it encourages you to learn more, not just Canadian history, but some interesting things like the songs we can't play today. You mentioned Blue Shelby Mustangs on there. There is Old Beater Trucks. Wonderful song about a quarter horse as well. And I think you're a bit of a horseman yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I've ridden horses all my life. And I wanted to give a tribute to some of my friends who, it seems unusual, but in the 21st century, there are people that are still making good living training horses.
Successfully.
In this digital world, great. In this digital world, there's still room for someone who knows how to train a horse.
We have time for one more song, and I want to play Lost Patrol, because this is a song that definitely has a really good story to it. Tell us a little bit about the story behind this song.
Yeah, Lost Patrol is a famous story in the Yukon, and because it's a famous story in the Yukon, it's kind of obscure everywhere else. So I really hope that this song gets played just to have the story told so that people can think about it. Right after the Klondike Gold Rush, the RCMP were up in the north at the time, and unlike the American gold rushes, there was a lot of law and order. That's why you see those pictures on the Chilkoot Trail of all the guys they had to haul in 2 tons of freight and all this kind of stuff to support themselves. So there was really a law and order presence in the Yukon. And the RCMP of the day used to go on vast patrols all the way up to the Beaufort where the whalers had a whaling station up there. And then they used to go all the way across over to where modern day Inuvik is. And they used to go down to Dawson. It was a big trek. It was like, it would have been hundreds and hundreds of miles. It's a vast, vast, huge geography. The scale of the geography is unbelievable up in the Yukon. And if you, any of the listeners who want to go up the Dempster Highway, which is one of the most epic road trips in Canada, you can go to the Arctic Circle. Actually, you can go right up to Tuktoyaktuk by car. Probably by truck would be better. But anyway, that's the setting for Lost Patrol. And these guys, at the turn of the century, used to patrol these great distances with just like wool mitts. And, you know, they didn't have like high-tech polar clothes or anything like we have. And they didn't have GPSs or anything. They had a dog sled. And they had like a couple of coats on. And they used to sleep out overnight in minus 50 degree weather. And one of these patrols that was on its way from the Inuvik area down to Dawson City got lost in the Richardson Mountains. And there had been heavy snows, and the heavy snow obscured some of the geographical features, and these guys got lost in there. And there's hundreds of like blind valleys and little streams and they just got, it was like a maze. It would be like getting lost in a maze. And at the time, it was absolutely bewildering that they got lost. But when you've been up there from a modern point of view and you look at it, you think, how the heck did these guys ever even attempt to travel vast distances like that, sleeping in a tent outside with a dog team at that, you know, in the dead of winter? Anyway, they perished. They perished. It was a sad story. They were out there for like, I don't know, I think they were out there for like 45 days or something. And they finally sent somebody out looking for them when it became apparent that they hadn't shown up in Dawson. And of course, everything was very word of mouth and very slow, nothing, you know, they realized that these guys had never arrived. And so they sent the guy who's named after the Dempster Highway. Dempster went up, the guy who went and found them and accounted for them and the terrible tragedy that happened. They named the Dempster Highway after him. And, they're buried up there, and it's a very tragic story, very tragic story. And when you go up to the Dempster Highway, midway on the Dempster Highway, it's a very, very wilderness area. And when you're traveling there, there's a lodge at the midway point where you can gas your vehicle up and you can stay overnight. And in that lodge, it's filled with all of the memorabilia, the stories, the newspaper articles, all of the local history of what happened. It was a huge story up in the Yukon, and it's a really interesting. It is such an interesting story because of that territory, and that part of Canada. It's so special.
I was going to say they should have taken that cheese with them. But it is a wonderful story. This is Same Latitude as Rome with The Lost Patrol from the album Stay the Course. Peter Boyer, it's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And it's a great album. Definitely check it out.
Thank you very much, Jan.
From Fort McPherson in 1910, Inspector Fitzgerald with three other men headed to Dawson with dogs breaking trail, patrolling the north and hauling the mail. The snow was waist deep, the sky bleak and gray, the landmarks obscure, so they lost their way. The icy peaks taunted the valleys below as they fought to survive the hunger and cold. In the Richardson Mountains at 50 below, the Lost Patrol wandered through valleys unknown. The wolves howl in chorus to the northern lights glow for the brave Mounties who never came home. Jack Dempster found them a few miles from home. They lay where they'd fallen, in a blanket of snow. On each frozen face the story was told of their last dying days, lost on patrol. In the Richardson Mountains at 50 below, the Lost Patrol wandered through valleys unknown. The wolves howl in chorus to the northern lights glow for the brave Mounties who never came home. Mm-hmm. trails lead to nowhere, don't take a wrong turn. Hard lessons come when they're too late to learn. The lost patrol perished alone one by one. Life's full of choices that can't be undone. In the Richardson Mountains at 50 below, the lost patrol wandered through valleys unknown. The wolves howl in chorus to the northern lights glow, for the brave Mounties who never came home. The wolves howl in chorus to the northern lights glow, for the brave Mounties who never came home.